How many enjoyed Thanksgiving? Okay. How many didn't? I mean, you just had the wrong people there. I mean, it's just arguments and fights and stuff. That's usually how your Thanksgiving goes. It's not like on A Christmas Story when the dogs come and take the turkey off the table and... I guess that was A Christmas Story, huh? Who eats turkey on Christmas? Anybody? You do? Double up, huh? 3 times on your birthday, too? Today, I just want to talk to you about boldness. Sometimes you need a boldness to face the holidays. You're going to need it every day in your life. You don't know what's going to come. You don't know if a person's going to act up or what have you. And you got to kind of keep it. You got to stay in love, but you also got to be bold about what you're getting ready to say. Tell them. Tell her, him, them, what have you. So you got to kind of have that boldness. 1 Peter 5. If you got your Bibles, open up to that. I'm reading out of the New Living Translations. It says, "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor." So you don't have to worry about the job title that you have or what have you. I said, we don't do this. I don't do this for a title. It's not about your title. It's not about your position. It's not about whether or not people like you. It says, humble yourselves. You know, if you try to humble somebody else, it's just humiliation, not humility. You humble yourself. We are to humble ourselves. We are not stronger than God, and we are not smarter than him. We need the wisdom of God every single day of our lives. Okay? He knows everything that he has called you to do. So humble yourself. Acknowledge him. Get direction for your life and for the situations you are getting ready to face. Your Heavenly Father has the answer, and he is eager to give it to you. When we do that, the Father will lift us up rather than we lifting ourselves up or someone else trying to get someone else to lift us up. Hey, look at me. Look at what I've done. I kind of look at people like that and say, what do you want, a cookie? Allow God to lift you up in honor. Let's not take his position in trying to lift or exalt ourselves to a higher stature than what he has already spoken to us. It says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be what? Exalted. See, when we exalt ourselves, God will humble us through his word. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will exalt us. His exaltation is a whole lot greater than ours. Okay? Anything that he does is a whole lot better than what we can give him to ourselves. So this is your time, your family's time, your friend's time, and then there's God's time. I was talking with an individual a few years ago. He's like, you know, well, I thought you wanted to do it in God's time. And I said, well, we are doing it in God's timing. You have your time frame. I have my time frame, but God has his. And so we are doing it in God's timing. There's always going to be difference. There's always going to be a difference. Sometimes we may be praying about something and believing the Lord for something, and we're standing in faith, and, you know, faith is now and stuff. I said, but it still is in God's timing in that. And he knows when you're ready for it. There's a story. When I was hooping, I shared this a couple of times. I think I can share it one more time before you start saying, okay, move on to something else. I was a junior in high school, playing ball. I thought I was doing great, and apparently my coach didn't think so. You know, you're just full of yourself. So he cut my time from like 8 minutes to about 4 minutes my junior year. So I'm over here just complaining, man. I'm just like, I go with my brother, he's doing his homework, and I go in there and sitting on his bed, and I said, man, he goes, what's up with you? And I was like, you know, just doing this big old sigh so I can get attention. What's wrong with you? I don't want to play. He goes, you need to work harder. Well, let me go talk to somebody else. Go to my pops. Man, I should be playing on varsity. He goes, no, you shouldn't. You dribble the ball too high. Everybody can take the ball from you. Is there anybody else? So I get to the place to where, okay, if I want to play, I got to work harder. So Every day practice, after practice, 3 to 5 practice, 5 to 9, 30, 10 o'clock, I was at the park playing, just putting in the work. And then finally, it was time to, like, during season. And then it was this game that we were playing against Buena, and it was Buena High School, and they put me in about 4 minutes left and stuff, and I think I had, like, 9 points within 4 minutes, kind of shining. And after that, he put me in the starting lineup. See, there was my timing, there was the coach's timing, there was also God's timing in that. It's like when the opportunity came, understand, I said, I didn't sit back and just continue to grovel because talking to other people wasn't going to change my situation. I had to work. I had to put in the work. And sometimes when even when you're praying, I'm not saying you have to put in the work, but you do have to rest in what you've already been believing the Lord for. Okay? But it doesn't mean you just don't do anything. You get back to work. Well, and then after I basically started, I led the team in scoring the whole time. So that preparation was very, very good for me. God's timing. God has his own timing for me and for you. But I had to be patient. Know it or not, every day of your life, you can purpose in your heart to know more and more of him about certain matters each day. Every day, you can purpose in your heart to know more and more about God. I spend at least 30 minutes a day, at least, learning more about finances than I ever have before. Every single day, at least 30 minutes. Whether in the scriptures, there's over like 2,000 scriptures on money in the Bible. Over 2,000. Well, God doesn't. No, the love of money is the root. But there's over 2,000 scriptures. I said, so if you get a good understanding on what the Word of God says, it's going to help you. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Your soul prospers because you're reading and meditating on the Word of God, not meditating about your problems. Do the Word. And trust its sources because there are thousands of scriptures that deals with the subject on money. It says, verse 7, it says, give. Give just like you're giving to other people. Give all your worries and cares to who? Your friends? Your family? Your next door neighbor? Who do we give it to? We give it to God, for he cares about you. People care about you, but God cares about you more. God cares about you a whole lot. We know we talk about being a giver, but when it comes to our cares and worries, we seem to keep them to ourselves or share them with our friends and family. Give it to the Father, cast it on him, put it on over to him. You know, we kind of dishonor God by holding on to our problems and become so worried about it. We hold on to it. We dishonor him because we think that we got it right. We can fix this. If you can fix that problem yourself, then why are you worried about it? It takes boldness and it takes humility to want to cast your cares on the Lord. You don't always have to figure everything out. Sit down with him. Find out what he's saying. Spending countless hours staying up all night trying to figure out the solution to your problem. We were coming back. Anytime we come back from home, if we're driving, coming late, it's Saturday night, I'll either have music on or I'll have somebody preaching on, something like that. So we get home, it's late. I'll sleep on the couch because I don't want to wake her up in the morning because I get up early Sunday morning. So we get up. But I usually have the Bible on or some preaching on or what have you. But I stopped at this time and my brain was just racing, thinking. I was thinking about the project that we were doing out here for the parking lot and I believe the Lord had given me some scriptures, but I was trying to figure out how we were going to do it exactly. How I was going to present it to people and what have you and in the presentation, how I was going to go about doing it, pretty much. So I was trying to figure that out. And I told my wife that. She goes, well, just like Ben Winston said, I said, well, if you're trying to figure it out, then apparently it ain't big enough. If you're trying to figure it out on your own on how to do it, apparently it ain't big enough. I said, this is a big enough project as is. I said, my goodness. You got to learn to trust God. Look, the Bible says that he never sleeps nor slumbers. God doesn't rest. I mean, in the sense of he never sleeps. You got to get some rest. You can't be up all night trying to figure everything out. Your kids need you in the morning. God needs you for the next day to be able to carry on a conversation or to speak to somebody, to be bold and share your faith or what have you. He needs you rested. He's not resting. He's watching over you. Cast it on him. Be bold about it. Put your foot down, so to speak. You have to be assertive when you are praying and believing God for something. I guarantee that the Father has the answer that you need if you just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Verse 8 says, stay alert. We had a coach in high school that talked about head on a swivel. Your head's got to be on a swivel. Stay alert. You got to be alert of what your surroundings, everything that's going on around you, in your home, in your business, what have you. Stay alert. The enemy is always walking around. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy was going to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone to devour when it came to Job. The Lord asked him, where are you coming from? To and fro, roaming the earth. Have you considered my servant Job? Yeah. He's looking for someone to devour. He can't just devour anyone. He prowls around like a lion. He's not a lion. He prowls around like a lion. Making decisions from an emotional standpoint will lead you away from God. When you allow your emotions to get the best of you, it'll lead you away from God. Not being mastered by anything or anyone, but by the Holy Spirit. Well, how did I get to that point to where I have a sound mind? Well, here is the thing. Go back up to verse 6. It says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. You have to come to the conclusion that you can't do it on your own. Even though you think you can, don't. God wants to help you even in the little things. I'm going to just save God for the big things for when I said, wait a minute. I said, if he helps you with the little things, those little things will never turn into big things. Sometimes it'll start from a little pebble. And, you know, you got a little snowball and you roll it and you just keep rolling it. And next thing you know, you got this big old giant ball. But it'll never get to that place if you acknowledge him in the little things. You know, it's okay to say, Lord, I need help. It's okay to say that. Lord, I need some wisdom about this. Like, who are you trying to impress? You don't have to DIY it every single day of your life. God cares about you more than anyone you know. And sometimes he is the last one we run to when we need help. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of what? But of power and love and of a sound mind. The Amplified Version says this. Did I give you the Amplified Version? Can you do the Amplified Version real quick? And a CEV, if you can get that on there, please. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God did not give you. For God did not give you. God did not give you. And sometimes, and I finally got that under me, I said, wait a minute, if he didn't give it to me, why am I accepting it? If he didn't give it to me, why am I putting up with it? For God did not give us a spirit of fear, this Amplified Version, of timidity, of cowardice, or craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. You got the CEV? God's spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. The spirit gives us power, love, and self-control. God gave you the real thing, the real one. His spirit, he didn't give you fear. So if there's any fear in your life, it's not because it came from him. It comes from that battleground. Another version that says, for the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. More of the story is, if you're in fear of anything, then you are operating in something that God never gave you. You shouldn't be fearful of anything. Well, I don't know. I just never tried it. Try it. May not be too bad. Try it and fail. Then you know what you need to adjust. But if you are in fear, which is where the enemy wants to get you, then it means that your love was not made perfect. Fear will bring torment. Love will bring peace. So if you're being tormented right now, you're in fear of something. You're replaying it over and over because you're in fear of something. You're torturing yourself every day by holding on to something that was meant for God to take care of. In verse 9, it says, stand firm against and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Well, how do I stand firm? By humbling yourself before God. It's his word, his power, his wisdom, and his authority. God's mercies are new every day, but Satan isn't partaker in that. His mercies are new. His grace, his mercies are new every single day, and Satan is not a partaker of God's mercies. So whenever he starts the new day, we started with God's grace and mercy being new every single day. We understand who we are in Christ. We start from a place of victory. Satan is always starting from a place of defeat. You always got the head start. You always have the upper hand until he gets in your head. Then he starts trying to get you to go against yourself, to doubt yourself, to doubt his word. James 4:7, it says, so humble yourselves before God. Do what? Resist the devil. Stand firm against. And he will do what? Flee. He will flee. And we know that Jesus had done that. Jesus was already submitted to God, but yet Satan still came at the end of his fast and yet still tried to do what he wanted to do. But again, Satan, even though he was God of this world, he could not physically touch Jesus. He could not physically make him do anything. And just like he physically can't make you do anything, he can just get you to doubt what the word of God says. That's why it's important to read the word, to know what it says. Resist, stand against. And you don't do it with your own willpower. If you do, you're going to fail every time. In your own power, you're going to fail every time. James 4, 1 through 7 says, what is the cause? I said, now I understand, you know, people will talk about this particular scripture. And it's like, okay, how come my prayers aren't getting answered? How come this isn't happening? How come it seems like the enemy is constantly attacking? Just because the enemy is constantly attacking doesn't mean that you're not submitted to God. But if we read it in context in this scripture, it's not talking to the one who's being attacked like James 4, 7 wouldn't have really applied to Jesus, because the reason why is because Satan was attacking or trying to get Jesus to do something. All the apostles were submitted to God, and yet Satan attacked him. Jesus submitted to God, yet religious leaders were attacking him. So in context of the scripture, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You already submitted. The enemy is going to try anyway because he's stupid. He's very, very crafty, deceiving, cunning, but he's stupid. So this is dealing with the brethren that is constantly being yielding themselves to the flesh and coming at you. So there's Richard was coming at Dustin. This would apply to Richard, not Dustin. Now, people could be looking at Dustin and saying, man, all this stuff is just coming against him, man. Dustin, if you would just submit yourself to God, he's like, man, I am submitted. I am doing the will of my Father. It's just this dude over here. It says here, what is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? Doesn't the battle inside of you, Richard, as you fight to have your own way and fulfill your own desires? Now, this isn't you. Understand, this just pretend, right? Okay. Verse 2. It says, you jealously want what Dustin has, so you begin to see yourself better than Dustin. You scheme with envy and harm Dustin selfishly to selfishly obtain what you crave. That's why you quarrel and fight, and all the time you don't obtain what you ask because you won't ask God for. God, why my prayers? You're praying for something that you want, not something he wants for you. Next verse. And if you ask, Richard, you won't receive it. If you're asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. You have become spiritual adulterers. You are having an unholy relationship with the world. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? But he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. For it says, God resists you, Richard, when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humbled. Next one. So then, Richard, surrender yourself to God. Surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. You won't be continually doing what you're trying to do to Dustin. And we always apply it to Dustin. We always apply it to the one that the enemy is coming after because we say, well, if you're not submitted to God, you can't resist the devil. Well, that's true. But in context of scripture, he's talking about the other brethren that chooses to yield themselves to the flesh to come after another individual. Now, Pastor Brandon, can you be honest with me? You're always honest. Have I ever trespassed against you? And I don't believe he ever trespassed against me. Part of it is because we're both in love with one another. We're not like that. But we're walking in love. We're both submitted to God. And when you're submitted to God, you won't ever trespass against. You understand what I'm saying? I said, so when we're always submitted to God, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're not submitted. When we're submitted to God, we're not going to trespass against another. But even if someone does trespass, you can't treat them the way they treated you. You got to keep yourself in love even if they're not. And if you're in love, you wouldn't trespass. And if they trespass, you still got to walk in love because he says, forgive those who trespass against us. Ephesians 6 says this, put on all of God's armor, so you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Put on. Never leave the house with your spiritual gear on. Put on. Some people never take off. They go to bed with it on. Why? Because it says stay alert. Be alert. The enemy walks around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. I said, you got to be alert. My freshman year in high school, we had a guy on our team, never played. He hardly ever played, but he was a good player. We were just really deep in whatever. I mean, he was the only Hispanic kind of on the team, so everybody else was black and then maybe one or two white dudes. So he rarely ever played, so he sat on the end of the bench. So one day, you know, one game, it was a home game, he decided that he wasn't going to put on his uniform. He had his street clothes on, but he also had his warm-ups on top. Doing warm-ups, layups. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. And then finally, when the coach, you know, we were up in the game, late in the game, when we were up by a lot, coach said, hey, Dave, come on in. Come on, let's go. Nah, coach, I'm good. I said, Dave, come on, man, come on. Nah, man, coach, I'm good. I said, all right, man, why did you want to go in? And he pulled up his pant leg, and you could see his jeans at the, they were tapered at the bottom. I was like, oh, man, all right. Still had his street clothes on. He didn't have his uniform on. See, we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You can't stand firm without the armor of God and humbling yourself before God. It's going to be difficult. Stand firm with what his word says about your situation and don't even back down when it looks like it's getting ready to turn against you. And sometimes we think we're believing God for one way, but then we see the outcome might be turning against what we've been believing for. So we end up creating a story that will fit this narrative when this is what you were believing. And we kind of back off and then we just settle for the less. God doesn't want you to settle for the less. He wants you standing firm. What does his word say? Well, it's okay if I got this little cough every now and then. What does it say? By his stripes, you are healed and you're settling for this thing, this ailment. You're settling for less than what he has already given you. We settle because we end up reasoning out. We end up talking ourselves out of the blessing of God because it's a whole lot easier. When you stand firm, you stand firm. You're not backing down. Jordan is better than LeBron. You're not backing down. You stand firm. And the Eagles are going to lose. No, you stand firm. You stand firm on what his word says. You don't settle for the ulterior in that. The alternate is what I'm trying to say. Version of it. Verse 13, it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. The enemy can strike at any time. Your thought life comes into play. That's where the battleground is. The weapons that the enemies use cannot harm you. Says, no weapon formed against me. They will be formed, but they will not prosper against you. He can form every single weapon that he wants to come against the believer, but it will not prosper against you. Well, the enemy's getting ready to attack. You might know it in the spirit. Yeah, but it won't prosper. Well, how do you know? His word says so. Well, what scripture are you saying? Well, you get your scriptures and stand on it. Well, it looks like he's breached. Doesn't matter. It's not going to prosper. You got to be sure of yourself. In verse 14, it says, stand your ground. Again, put it on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The truth of God's word goes on the offense. Faith goes on the offense with the word of God, not with doing what the enemy has been doing. So you don't play the enemy's game. He's very offensive in his attacks and stuff, but he has no armor. It's all flesh. When the enemy attacks with doubt and unbelief, we counter that attack with our own attack with the word. Okay? We know that. Amen. The word, which is the sword of the spirit. Verse 15, for shoes, put on a piece that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the spirit. Sometimes. Come on now. At all times and on every occasion. Well, I don't believe in praying in the spirit. I don't believe in that tongue stuff. You better. He's telling you right here. Well, we don't necessarily need it. I said, but it's right here. How do you not need it when he's giving it to you? And sometimes, this is relying on our own wisdom. The wisdom of God says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. But our denomination won't let us pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, head on a swivel, and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. See, you're not the only one going through something. Everyone's going through something. You're not the only one. You're not the only one facing a battle, and what helped you get through yours can be a truth that you can pass on to others to help them in theirs. Boldness is asking God for help. Boldness is speaking his word out while others are looking at you crazy and you're not backing down from what his word says. You're standing firm. You're believing God. There are a few times when the disciples were like, who is this man that speaks to the wind? And it obeys. He doesn't just speak to the wind. The winds obeyed him. The waves obeyed Jesus. And it says it'll obey you. Because Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do. Well, I just don't believe that. I said, there you go. Settling for less when he's giving you more. You can't settle for less. You want peace in your home, you can't settle for less. You're able to put up with certain things and stuff like that. Uh-uh. Not in my house. Not in your house. When it comes to the holidays, uh-uh. You just, oh, I'm just trying to get along. You can't settle for less. You have to take your authority. You could do it in a nice way. I haven't figured that out yet. But you can do it in a nice way. But you can. You can purpose in your heart, you know what? This is going to be a good day. I'm going to have a good day. And I don't have to have another bad day in my life. Even if bad things happen to me, it will always be a good day. Quit allowing your feelings and emotions to govern you and take you somewhere that God never meant for you to go. Boldness. You got to be bold. I said, be bold with yourself. You would be bold with a bully. I said, sometimes your emotions may bully you. You're going to have to be bold. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, which gives us that boldness to be able to share our faith and share your word to everyone else around here. And if there's anyone here and anyone that is watching that has never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand real quick. If there's anyone there on the TV, we just ask you to say this prayer with us. Heavenly Father, today I give my life to you. I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross for me. And I believe 3 days later, he was raised to life. And Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life and save it and change me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, stand to your feet. Be bold. Boldness. 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 I had to learn that boldness, like even being in a restaurant with my wife. I can't tell you how many times she has to send a steak back. She wants it well done, so it'll come like medium well. Any pink in it, she don't like it. Take it. Can you cook this some more? I feel like I'm cool with it, man. I'll just eat it. You know, and if I order something a certain way, that's the way I want it. And I had to understand that because I was settling for less. And sometimes it's just easy to do because we want to keep the peace. But that ain't going to sit right here with you. Keeping the peace, you're able to open up to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone needing prayer for anything in their life right now? I mean, it's just a whirlwind in your life. Speak now or forever. God bless you. Thank you. Jesus, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for our life, health, and strength in you, Lord. We thank you for who you are because you're just a good God. And we just ask that you continue to nudge us in that direction of being bold in the areas you want us to be bold in. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Drive safe. Trina, thank you for decorations.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.